shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and it's a bitch getting at it some nights. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, to get to that truth. All right, so in any event, we have a story here. Margaret Gray is going to come on the line from A Little Bird Told Me, the nationally syndicated newspaper column from the Dicklin Syndicate. James Cameron heads into the abyss. James Cameron, who you may or may not know, is the director who made Titanic, Terminator, and Avatar, and a bunch of other flicks, man. I mean, this guy is, he's a hit maker as a director. The director who once proclaimed himself, in fact, king of the world, is about to become the master of the depths if all goes to plan. James Cameron, director of the 1997 blockbuster Titanic, will soon use his own unique submersible to become the first person since 1960 to reach the deepest place in the ocean. But although most attention will be focused on the boldness of the engineering feat, his expedition includes a substantial scientific component aimed at better understanding one of the world's most extreme and least studied environments. The goal of all of this is not just to set records and do grandstanding dives, Cameron told Nature just hours before heading to sea. We want to push the envelope not only of scientific knowledge, but also of engineering. And joining us on the line from Santa Monica, California tonight is Margaret Gray to talk with us about this, this amazing feat, this unusual feat, I would say, coming from somebody in the entertainment world. Diving to the deepest part of the ocean. Margaret, how are you tonight?
Well, I'm doing well, Phil, and like you, I look upon this as an unusual attempt for someone who is in the line of work of a James Cameron. James Cameron made one of the most dramatically compelling films in all of history, and that was the film Titanic. From the special effects that he engineered into that film, really to the love story and to the larger historical context of immigrants, as well as the upper classes, as well as the capitalists and industrialists, who traveled aboard this very ill-fated ship on a very, very cold night. It was 1912 or...
You know what? That's a good question. But it was prior to World War One.
I didn't hear you. What?
It was prior to World War One.
Well, that's a lot of years prior to World War One.
I mean, what I'm saying is it was after the turn of the century. It was in the... I believe you're correct. Either in the second... I think it was in the second decade of the century. The reason why I say that is the two biggest events prior to World War One in my mind were the San Francisco earthquake and the sinking of the Titanic, and I could be wrong about that.
Well, I think I would put the assassination of McKinley in there, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would. Yes, I would. I apologize.
I think the assassination of an American president... is much more significant.
No, you're absolutely right, Margaret. I guess I mean in terms of big disasters, you know.
Well, again, I would think that the assassination of a president is a big disaster, and this is really one of. If I could just go off topic for a moment, so one of the problems that I have with coming on these radio programs and doing these interview programs. I wish the hosts, and this is not necessarily you, Phil, but I think you could learn from this. I just wish the hosts were a little bit better informed.
Margaret, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you.
But I wish they were better informed, and then I wish they would let me do what I do best, which is explain the actual facts of something before they start jumping in and giving opinions that really don't provide anything.
Can I say something?
Hold on, please, and then I'll let you say what you want to say. So when I do radio interviews and I get a host such as yourself, Phil, you're not the worst. I mean, the worst is probably, I would say the worst that I ever dealt with in terms of really not asking the best questions in the world was Michael Medved, who I found to be a little thick, and I know that he probably would chalk that up to the fact that he's a conservative and I'm a liberal.
Yeah, maybe, because I don't find Michael that way at all. I think he's extremely intelligent. I know him, and I know his brother.
Well, good for you, Phil. You know, if we want to start dropping names.
I don't believe I brought his name up first. I think you did. All right.
No. Well, yes, all right. I did bring his name up. But I did not ask you to jump in on the issue of the Titanic.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did. You said, what year was it?
No, I'm afraid I did not, Phil. I do remember.
You said to me, was it 1911? I don't know. And I said, I believe, yes, it was.
No, I didn't ask you what the year was. I said, was it 1911 or not? I didn't ask you to go into a big, long...
You know, we're wasting a lot of time here.
I know that. And I'm embarrassed for you, I'm embarrassed for you, and I'm embarrassed for myself. Let's just back up and start all over again. I can do this another night if you want.
All right. I mean, if you want to reschedule.
Well, no, I don't. But what bothers me is that you continually argue with me.
Ms. Gray, I'm not trying to argue with you about anything. You asked me, I thought at the outset of this interview, the year that the Titanic sunk.
I wouldn't. If I'm on this program to talk to you about the Titanic, for God's sake, why would I ask you when it sunk? You must take me for an idiot. I did not do that, Mr. Hendry.
Okay, I didn't know you were coming on to talk about the Titanic. James Cameron.
Well, James Cameron, yes. That's why I'm on the program to talk about James Cameron, but one of the biggest movies he ever directed was Titanic.
Yes, it was.
All right. So why would I come on here not armed with the facts? It's not important to know what year the Titanic went down in the context of this. But if I ask you, was it 1911, that's not asking you when the date is. I know what I'm talking about, thank you. And it's embarrassing to have you do that. And all I'm asking for, Phil, is to treat me the same way you would treat any other interview subject, with respect, and not just because I'm the dumb woman, all right?
That is really unfair. I've never done that with you, and I will never start. I have never treated you differently because you're a woman.
Not because I'm the Duell Field, you can say what you want, but not because I'm the dumb woman.
I've never done that with you, Ms. Gray, and I think it's very unfair. I have never, ever treated you as if you were the dumb woman. This started out, and my listeners can back this up.
That is very unfair.
Well, they heard it. They heard you say, was it 1911?
Well, right there, you're mocking my voice. You're going, was it 1911, as if I'm the dumb little ingenue, the stupid little girl who doesn't quite know where her next class is, and would you carry my books for me?
No, I did not, Ms. Gray. You asked me if it was 1911, and I said I didn't know. I think so, but I didn't know.
That's not asking you the year, though, is it?
You were asking me, was it 1911?
I was asking you, was it 1911? I didn't say what year was it and what was the date, did I? Did I?
No, you did not.
Okay. The time that we have wasted here has really, really put me off.
Can we get back on track? Can we get back on track?
Yes, we can, if I can be assured that I will not be asked stupid questions by you. And hopefully, if you do take phone calls from your listeners, that I will not have to endure questions from them that are argumentative.
The nature of what we do is that, you know, people give their opinion.
I've listened to the nature of what you do, quote unquote, and I'm not impressed. So again, I will continue if I am not insulted by the host, and if I'm not asked to answer questions from listeners that really just wouldn't should that be introduced into an intelligent film?
I will do my very best. My screeners will do their best in making sure you get good questions. In the meantime, I don't want to bring up the Titanic. I'm not telling you what to talk about. I want to get into James Cameron's latest very interesting adventures as a submariner and as a deep sea diver.
Well, submariner, that's an interesting word. You know, your brother was in the submarines in the Navy, correct?
Yes.
That's the only reason why I would allow you to even use that word, because if you were a different host and you tried to insult me by showing some erudition and using the word submariner, I would hang the phone up.
All right, well, hold on, and please don't hang up. 877-876-7445. Wow. James Cameron, the great film director, has attacked and is going after something, an adventure. He is heading into the Mariana Trench, 10,900 meters deep, the Mariana Trench off the coast of the Philippines. It is considered to be the deepest part of our oceans here on our beautiful planet Earth. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, and on the line with us is Margaret Gray as we talk with her about James Cameron, the director, and this really amazing trip, this amazing adventure that he is now currently on, to go to the Mariana Trench and to dive to the bottom of the Mariana Trench, if I'm not mistaken, which is 10,900 meters deep. 10,900 meters deep, Margaret.
And Phil, yeah, that is about 3.5 to 4 miles. No, that is 10,000 meters, 3,000. That's about 1 to 2 miles deep.
It's 10,900 meters.
Yes, that's 1 to 2 miles deep. That is incredibly, incredibly deep for an ocean. And
I think the math is different.
No, the math is fine. The other thing that I was able to find, the sinking of the Titanic, was 1911. That was in April of 1911. On April the 16th of 1911, the Titanic was sunk. And James Cameron is going to the Mariana Trench, and he is going to dive to a depth of 1 mile. And what else would you like to know, Phil?
I don't understand the sarcasm.
Well, because ever since I came on your program, you have, at every turn, tried to make me look stupid.
No, I have not. You asked me at the beginning, is that 1911? You asked me the year, all right?
Yeah, and I found out it was 1911, and you said, no, it wasn't.
I didn't think it was.
It was 1911. And the Mariana Trench is 1 mile deep. And James Cameron, and the whole reason why I came on your program, Phil, was to simply say this. James Cameron is a great director. But I think he takes it a little far. And I think the unrestrained ego of that man takes it just a little too far when he starts talking about being a deep-sea diver and a submariner and an explorer and an engineer and this and that. I think he has got a screw loose when he thinks he's so important that this is where his ego has taken him.
And yet it's an interest of his that James Cameron, we know for a fact that this man has an interest in this particular topic, especially ever since he did the film, that he has built this submarine. It's called the Deep Sea Challenger. He's going to a gash that is 10,900 meters deep in the Mariana Trench called Challenger Deep. So I think that's why he called this craft of his the Deep Sea Challenger.
Where is he going? I'm sorry, he's going to the Mariana Trench.
Yeah, no, he is, but there is a particular part of the Mariana Trench that is described in the story that I'm reading here in Nature as a gash that is more than 10,900 meters deep.
Well, it's an unfortunate description, given the fact that you have females listening to your broadcast. That's a very unfortunate, very crude, and very insulting description. This is why I wanted to take the lead in all of these stories that we're doing tonight, because what you've done is you have you've misinformed the audience, Phil. You've insulted me. You're giving out bad information.
Are you in a? Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Are you in a bad mood tonight?
No, so you're not going to make it about me, quote, being on the rag, okay? No, we don't get to do that.
No, I'm not saying you're on the rag, but from the very beginning of this hour, when you called up, you've had it in for me.
No, oh, God, listen to the picked-on man.
No, well, I mean, starts out with, gee, Phil, what year was it? It was 1911. Well, there you go, you know. From the very beginning, you started finding fault with what I was saying here. From the very start.
I'm trying to give this audience a fighting chance to enjoy an hour of information and not have you destroy what I have tried to scholastically, academically put together and to impart to your audience. And it's not going to do us any good to get dates wrong.
Well, when you start off the show by asking, what year was the Titanic sunk?
I didn't ask that, did I? I said, was it 1911?
Well,
see, that's what you got wrong, and that's what you do. That's what you do. That's what you do. I didn't say, what year was it? I said, was it 1911? And you said no.
I said no. Right. Can we get back to this story?
Go ahead.
Cameron built his sub. Cameron built his sub, which is called the Deep Sea Challenger, in Australia. He's not released how much money he spent on construction of the expedition. It has space for only one cramped person in its unusual 7.3 meter tall vertical design, which streamlines the dives and ascents. A large bank of lights above the spherical cockpit will illuminate the depths for filming documentaries that he'll produce in collaboration with National Geographic.
And they're right there. That's another very unfortunate aspect to this. Just because he made a film called The Titanic doesn't mean that National Geographic has to fall all over itself and say, oh, let's make documentaries with James Cameron. He made a science fiction movie. He made a film called Titanic, which is based on some fanciful story about a woman that threw a diamond or a gem into the ocean. That's supposed to qualify him to make documentaries? I don't think so. And yet National Geographic can't wait to get into bed with James Cameron. So I find fault with that. I find fault with the fact that he has these lights on top of the submarine. That is typical James Cameron hubris. I'm going to build a submarine, but it won't just be a submarine. As it goes down through the ocean, as it sinks down through the ocean, it'll have all these really neat lights that just go, woo, just light up. And it's such an ego on the man to have all these ridiculous and asinine-looking craft going down through the ocean. I'm surprised he doesn't have a big bay window in it so he can wave at all the fish. I really mean it.
Well, there's no point in being stupid. You know,
I'm not being stupid. That's the kind of ego that James Cameron has. Build a big window and wave at all the fish and wear a King Neptune outfit. That is the kind of man we're talking about. Okay? So here's a guy that says he's going 10,900 meters deep, a full mile. Big deal. He sinks the Titanic for a movie. And I don't to this day know whether he got the movie right, got the date right in the movie. He built a craft in Australia. Why? Because Peter Jackson's in Australia and James Cameron won't be outdone. It's a craft with a lot of needless lights. It's a craft with a big bay window. It's a craft where he gets to put on his King Neptune outfit and wave at the fish and sort of be a little mad, a mad king in the underworld.
All right, I got to take a break here, okay?
A craft with all of these lights. No, What is it?
I got to take a break. Hold on. 877-876-7445. Is James Cameron, by going to the bottom of the ocean in this submarine, is it just another ego trip? Is James Cameron even qualified to do something like this? Because he's a movie director. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry.
It's a craft that says to me that...
famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show. Margaret Gray on the line with us here as we talk about James Cameron's expeditions there to wherever that, to the Marianas Trench. Let me talk about...
First of all, Phil, it's not the Marianas Trench. It's called the Mariana Trench. The term that you use, which is, I believe, the... this Challenger Deep that you called a gash is about as disgusting as it gets in terms of women.
And ma'am, this is not what I call it. It's what was described in the article in Nature.
It doesn't matter if it was in Nature. It's insulting to women. And what we're trying to do, and what I've been trying to do in talk radio especially, is to bring more women to the table, not to drive them away. You understand?
Yes, I understand that. But if I'm reading an article from Nature magazine, which talks about some gash that's 10,000 meters deep in the Mariana Trench, I didn't make that up. I didn't say, oh, well, I think I'll call it that to offend women. That's what was written there.
I wish scientists would be a little bit more thoughtful.
Well, I wish a lot of things, okay? You and I have been arguing here for 40 minutes while I'm trying to get this information out about James Cameron.
And I'm trying to tell you there's nothing to tell about James Cameron. James Cameron made a movie. He made a couple of movies. And now, all of a sudden, he's decided to take some of the money that he's made and build a submarine. Not help people with it. Not do anything.
Now we're going to get to the whole point of this thing. Now what you want to talk to me about is James Cameron's lack of what? Philanthropy?
Yes, exactly. His lack of philanthropy. His lack of humanity. Humanity. You know what that is, don't you?
Yeah, I know what that is. I know what that is. And I have no way of knowing that James Cameron has no... just because he builds a submarine. And if what you wanted to do when you came on here is to talk about what a douchebag the guy is, then we could have done that. Instead of coming at it sideways, which is to say, well, hey, James Cameron has this plan.
I didn't come at this thing sideways. You were the one that was all enthusiastic about it. I told you that I thought what James Cameron was doing was a festival of ego. What this man was proposing to engage in was one of the most outrageous displays of egocentricity that I have ever had the misfortune to have to take a deep breath around. Because it smells, Phil. It stinks. It stinks like something fetid and corrosive.
Then you have the contacts with these people.
What do you mean, these people? What does that mean?
I'm talking about the Hollywood types. You have the contacts with them. Those are the individuals that you talk to. You can say something to him.
And what do you want me to say to James Cameron?
What do I want you to say? I don't want you to say anything. I haven't got a problem with James Cameron. He's a perfectly fine person as far as I'm concerned. I don't know the guy.
So you've never wanted to get to know just what kind of human being he is?
I've never even had the remotest interest. I know he makes a movie. He made a couple of movies, Titanic and Terminator.
Well, he made more than one Terminator.
Well, whatever. It doesn't make any difference to me. He made these movies. He made Avatar.
Did you see that? Now, that was a spiritual experience. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
I'm sorry?
No, I did not see it. No, I'm sorry. I missed out on that spiritual experience.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
You didn't see Avatar.
Give me the phone. Well, it's Frank.
Hey, Frank. How you doing?
I'm better than Custer. Look, she is obviously a great director. There's no question about the fact that she's made some great films. What he's trying to say, though, is that that doesn't translate...
Now, hold on for a minute, because people don't know you've got gender confusion because of that untreated syphilis. All right?
Untreated gonorrhea, and I don't know what you're talking about.
You can't tell him directly he has gender confusion because it doesn't compute.
Go ahead.
Can I talk?
Go ahead.
She's made great movies. There's no question about it. James Cameron has made Titanic. She made that. And, yeah, she made it with a big budget. Now, Margaret's my wife. He's a great wife. I love him. I love him dearly. What he's trying to say is that a film director does not make you a scientist.
I know that. I understand that.
Well, then what are you two arguing about? He's saying one thing, and you're saying something else.
I don't know what we're arguing about. I said to her that I think James Cameron made good movies. I hope that his little you know, trip to the bottom of the ocean does. What is that, man? That sounds really strange. What was that, anyway? Hey, Frank, what was that?
Hold on. My wristwatch. I got to take some pills. All right.
That's an alarm?
Yeah.
I said to her that I felt that James Cameron was a good film director. I don't know anything about. She's telling me that 10,900 meters deep is a mile.
What did he say?
She said 10,900 meters deep is a mile.
It is a mile. How dare you?
Will you? Oh, it's not a mile, Margaret. It's about 6 miles, you idiot.
What is?
10,900 meters.
10,900 meters, about 3 feet per meter. Let's just roughly, okay? That's about 30,000 feet, give or take, 5.5, 6 miles.
Do you hear that?
You know something? This is Phil Hendry doing math. That's about as sure a thing as, I don't know, that Brooklyn Bridge deed you've got. No, I don't buy that at all.
All right, and then the other thing that she said was that the Titanic was sunk in 1911. It was 1912. So put it all together, and what do you got? You got an hour of radio here that I didn't want to engage in. I wanted to have facts.
She says that she wanted to engage in facts, and you want to engage in what?
I want to engage in facts too, Frank.
All right, he says he wants to engage in facts just like you. She's been telling me.
Will you call me he or get off the phone, please?
Give me the phone, will you?
What is it with him?
I told you, it's gender confusion.
What do you mean, gender confusion? I've never heard of that before in my life.
You've never heard of gender confusion?
No, I have not. I've never heard of that. I've never heard of untreated syphilis getting to the brain and only doing that much damage, and the rest he's just fine. Why doesn't that guy get it? God, that's disgusting.
You're talking about Frank Gray, one of the great producers and entertainment attorneys in the history of...
Oh, okay. You know, you got a ball like a baby. I just don't want to get on the phone with him and have him say, hey, she says, he says, and he's talking about a he and a she. I mean, it's just too weird for me. Do you understand? Do you understand?
Yes.
Oh.
You can't yell at him like that.
Get off the phone.
I got it, Frank. Don't worry about it.
I'm going to get on the extension.
I got it. I'll take care of it. The final thing that I want to say about James Cameron is this, Phil. If James Cameron attempts this expedition and it is unsuccessful, if for whatever reason the pressures, and there are enormous, enormous physical pressures at that kind of depth, at 10,900 meters, whether it's only 3 feet deep or 6 miles deep, the pressures exerted are enormous. They can literally cave a man's skull in. They can explode his eyeballs. They can peel away what's left of his eardrums, leaving only tunnels of blood.
All right. God, I get it, okay? I understand.
So what he is doing is he's putting himself at risk of that. And, Phil, I'll tell you this much. If James Cameron meets a fate as horrible as what I've just mentioned to you, There's going to be a lot of problems. There's going to be a lot of lawsuits. There's going to be a Hollywood funeral, the likes of which you haven't seen before. It's going to shut some studios down. It's going to be bad.
Well, I will tell you this much.
What's wrong with you?
Well,
you better clear your throat.
I'm clearing my throat. I'll tell you this much. There's no way that James Cameron takes a trip like this without taking out all kinds of insurance.
Do you think the studios are insuring him?
I don't know. I don't think it matters. I think James Cameron has taken out insurance, or people have taken out insurance on him, business partners. You know, believe me when I tell you, there's no way there isn't insurance, all kinds of insurance, covering this trip. There's all kinds of insurance, not only covering the equipment, not only covering what, you know, may or may not become of these documentaries. There's insurance covering James Cameron. So I don't think you have anything to worry about there.
My God, I hope you're right. I really hope.
You've made a big deal out of nothing, Margaret. You came on here and insulted me.
I didn't insult you.
Yes, you did. You called me a liar. You called me an idiot. You said that I got all this stuff wrong. And it's going to be a long time before I talk to you again on these airwaves.
No, you can't level a threat like that. I'm way bigger than you.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Telling me what's wrong with the show, what's right with the show. I got the name wrong, this, that, for the whole freaking hour. I never did get to this James Cameron expedition or what it meant. So you wait and you watch.
Don't you threaten me, Phil Hendry. I'm bigger.
You really meant that, huh? You better believe I meant it. That's the last time I get her on the air and that husband of hers. You know, I like Frank a lot.
Yeah, you ought to get along with him.
I like Frank a lot. I think he's a great guy. But I'll be a gone you-know-what, man.
Yeah, man.
That's right. If I'm going to let that guy come on here, and every time he does, hey, he, she, he's got the whole thing reversed, and I'm supposed to accept that. I got to go along with some rule book on how to talk to Frank. I say, get him to the hospital, get him treated.
I heard him say that there's no way you can treat that.
What do you mean there's no way you can treat that? That sounds like a speech therapy problem. It sounds like he's got some brain damage that's neurologic. I don't know. All right, we got a lot of news to get to here tonight in our News and Information Hour, our final segment of this hour coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, and philhendryshow.com with live streaming video of our show tonight. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. So you heard that story earlier tonight. We were talking with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police that it actually took place at the end of February. It was a kid who was in Sanford, Florida. He was there visiting a father, I think, who was staying with a girlfriend, something along those lines. Nonetheless, the kid's walking to the store. He's got an Arizona iced tea, and he's got a bag of Skittles with him. And as he's walking along, he's spotted by this George Zimmerman, this guy whose picture has been prominent. The first time I saw this guy Zimmerman, I said, well, he looks Hispanic. Not that it makes any difference in the strict racial profiling sense. However, in the cultural sense, it makes a difference to some people. Nonetheless, the kid's walking down the street, and this guy calls the police and says the kid looks weird or he looks wrong or something like that. The next thing you know, he's in a wrestling match with this kid, and his gun goes off, and he has killed this boy by the name of Trayvon Martin. Apparently, there was some sort of a struggle or there was some kind of a wrestling match, and that's what happened. Zimmerman had claimed to the police that he stepped out of his truck to check the name of the street he was on when Trayvon attacked him from behind as he walked back to his truck. He said he feared for his life and fired the semi-automatic handgun he was licensed to carry because he feared for his life. So this guy is saying that he got attacked from behind by this kid who, as it turned out, was only armed with iced tea and candy from a 7-Eleven. Now, the weirdest part about all of this isn't so much what this jackass is talking about, this Zimmer. It's really hard to believe the guy. I personally don't believe him. You know, I mean, that's just the reason why I don't believe him is it's not likely that a kid is going to attack a guy who just so happens to be really paranoid of that very kid. And he's gotten out of his truck, and he has his back to the kid as he's looking at a sign. He said he was attacked from behind. And the kid's attacking him from behind. And if this guy was so paranoid, what's he doing turning his back on the kid? He must have had his eyes on this kid the whole time. He said he got out of his truck to check the name of the street that he was on. He said he feared for his life, and he fired the semi-automatic handgun. This is a guy that's been calling the cops a lot, and he's been giving them all kinds of false, you know, alarms about the people in the neighborhood, and just all kinds of weird stuff like that. Several witnesses said they heard cries that sounded like a boy wailing. I mean, I don't know if you heard those. We played this tape actually during the pre-show, and you could hear this somebody yelling. And the howling was silenced by gunfire. Then they heard the police later portray the cries as Zimmerman's. The police chief has been accused of telling lies big and small in ways that shield Zimmerman. And now members of Congress are going nuts. And the police chief is under fire. The whole thing is from an outsider's point of view, and maybe that's good or... I don't know whether that's good or bad, you know?
That Casey Anthony...
It's like the what?
Like the Casey Anthony trial.
Yeah. Everybody thought she was guilty, but then I looked, and the people looking at the closest to it say she's innocent.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe it is. But I you know, at some point, you know what happens in this world is you're asked to believe things, and then you start wondering, am I crazy? Maybe I'm nuts. Maybe I'm nuts. You know?
Like what?
Well, like in a Casey Anthony thing. You're looking at this thing... And see, now, in retrospect, when I think of the Casey Anthony trial, I fully blame the prosecutors. I was like everybody else. I thought, oh, they did such a great job, the DA and that Linda What's-Her-Ass and that Jeff What's-His-Name and the rest of the... Weren't they just great? And they're so wonderful. And the jury is just as stupid as hell. Well, maybe the jury was stupid. There's no question that there's all kinds of stupid people in this world and they get on juries. But... All of a sudden, I don't know how long it took me, but I sort of woke up one day and said, you know what, those attorneys, really, they did. They butchered the hell out of that case. You know, they should have known, man, that they had to be a little bit more, I don't know, scientific in presenting this thing. They were coming from all different kinds of places, like this kid's going to talk, and so she's going to strangle the kid. In other words... If she strangled the kid, don't you think you should be concentrating more on, well, okay, where's the evidence of the strangling as opposed to the whys, you know?
Yeah, I guess so, man. I'm just saying, you know, they're still dumbass.
Yeah, the jury's still dumbass to say that about that and a judge.
The judge?
Yeah, judge was an idiot, too.
The judge wasn't an idiot. He was smart.
Which one's the guy that was the tall, gray-haired guy?
That's an attorney. That ain't the judge.
Oh.
Anyway, the point being that this Casey Anthony trial, it sort of got everybody thinking, well, maybe I'm nuts. You know, maybe I'm not seeing things the right way. Maybe I mean, you know. No, folks. You're not nuts. Neither am I. No, we saw it the right way. She killed her kid. She stuck that kid in that car. She's a psychopath. Who can drive around with a dead body in her car, with the stink of a dead body in her car, and it doesn't even bother her. That's the kind of psychopath you're dealing with. And then she took the body and she threw it out into some weeds, and guess what? The combined law enforcement of Orange County, Florida, and the legal minds of the district attorney's office in the whatever district it is there, the combined efforts of all of those entities that the taxpayers spend quite a bit of money for, the combined efforts could not find a way to find proof of guilt of a woman who drove around with this dead body in her car and then just said, oh, I gotta get rid of it, and got rid of it in a vacant lot or something, not more than a few miles away from her house. That's how much she covered that one up. You talk about a trail of evidence. Okay, so now we got this. You got the thing here in Florida. And you got a guy, and you got a kid, and you got a dead kid. You got a guy who's got a history of calling in all kinds of crazy stuff. He's got a gun. You got a kid that's not armed. He didn't have a gun. And the kid's dead. And this cat hasn't even been arrested for anything. Nothing. I mean... What about manslaughter? What about, how do you determine that? I mean, this was February the 26th, okay. So today is the, you know, the later part of March. So now there's been 2 weeks. 2 weeks of investigation here. 2 weeks of investigation. And they have determined from these 2 weeks of investigation that this guy was defending his life against a kid with Skittles and Arizona iced tea. Now, it's possible that the kid's got some neurological problem or a disease or he's got some mania that caused him to just suddenly start foaming at the mouth and jump this guy from behind. But you got to have some evidence of that. You got to have some proof of that. You got to have some medical report, don't you? Don't you have to have a witness? Don't you have to have somebody other than this guy saying, oh, yeah, I saw that kid run, and he jumped, and he grabbed the guy, and he started biting his neck, or whatever the hell somebody would have to be doing to you who's unarmed to make you take a gun and blow him away? I don't know. That's why I say sometimes it makes you think you're crazy. All right, we're going to come back with our News and Information Hour here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.